Okay, I think that was probably the
sound to begin class. So it's good to have everybody out. We do have a lot of people traveling today, and it's fall break and those different things. And so let's pray for them that they have a safe journey to where they're going to and where they get back with us. This will be the last chapter on Acts. And before we begin, it'll be chapter 28. We'll be starting in the middle of it. Before we begin, John, how about leading us in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now, Lord. We're so thankful to be gathered here together this morning to study your word. Such a beautiful day to look around. We're so blessed by everything that you've done for us, Lord. We pray that you would thank it as he brings us this lesson. Lord, we pray that we would all pay attention and would gain a better knowledge in our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Amen. We're getting to the end here, of course, of the last chapter. We've seen Paul. You know, the first part of the book of Acts is about Peter, really, in the beginning of the gospel. But then about midway through the book of Acts, Paul takes over. We see him in Acts 9 when holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen. He was consenting to Stephen's death, but we see his conversion. And once he was converted, it's amazing the depths and the sacrifices that he made. You know, they didn't have cars and planes like we do today. And a bunch of places he went walking probably. And he was talked about in Corinthians, how many times he was in perils. And he did that because of the love he had, number one. Joe will be teaching Romans in a couple of weeks. And his heart and desire for Israel to be saved. He would give his life for his countrymen, the people that had grown up, descendants of Abraham. He would give his life for them to be saved. That's all he wanted. Also, the thing of it is, the great preacher he was for the Gentiles. You know, I don't know if we have any Jewish people in here today or not. I don't think we do. So really what Paul did was the great light to bring the Gentiles, all of us, into God's promises and to go through the Bible to do these things. And we'll see these things as we go on today. So last week, you know, we talked about him being shipwrecked on that island. Not one person out of 276 people that was on that ship lost their life because Paul told them. Remember the sailors wanted to leave the ship? And Paul goes to the centurion and cuts the ropes and says, we're staying on this because this man's going to get us safely there. Julius had a lot of faith in Paul, and I believe Julius probably became a Christian. How could you not see and be around Paul all this time from when he left Caesarea? And he lets them go free, we talked at one place. He knew Paul was coming back. And then what he saw, the shipwreck, and, you know, I think that was Paul's fourth shipwreck, and probably the other three, I would have thought there'd been people would have died in those shipwrecks. You know, they do today when shipwrecks, right? And then he sees the snake, and then he sees the miracles that Paul performs. I wonder how many other Christians was on that boat because of Paul, those men became Christians and the people of the island. If they had not been shipwrecked, would the people on that island have heard the gospel and seen? And did he not probably give them gifts, spiritual gifts, so the word can spread? So Paul did a lot of good for people, but he wanted people to be saved. Okay, let's get down to verse 13. Talks about a couple cities they go to, and in one day, we talked about before how winds could hinder a ship, and it could help a ship get there. It says in one day, in verse 13, they go to a place called Puteoli, whatever it's pronounced, and it's that where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, so we went to Rome. Okay, they come to this island. That's where they left off at, and he stayed there 7 days. And most people think that the reason Paul stayed there for 7 days was what did he want to partake of with the brethren?
Would it be there for
the Lord's Supper, right? The Lord's Supper, what we did today, we do that one day of the week. It's the first day of the week. We always need to remember. Why? That's the day we took of the Lord's Supper because that's remembers Christ's death, his body, his blood. That's important to us as Christians, because without it, are we saved? No, we should always look forward to this day and being here to partake of it. And you know what? Who let them be there 7 days? Think of that. Was Paul still a prisoner? Was Julius still the centurion? Did Julius let Paul stay there? You think Julius was a part of that? Being there at the Lord's Day, protecting the Lord's Supper? Might have been, right? After everything that he's seen? And then they said in verse 15, they came to the brethren. Verse 15, who are the brethren?
Fellow Christians.
Christians. Had they heard, had Paul sent them something before this? This is about 60 A.D. probably. What did he write? And Joseph will talk about it in a couple of weeks. What did he write to the saints at Romans on his third missionary journey? What book are we going to study?
Romans.
Book of Romans. The book had got there before Paul gets there, right? And he talks in that book about the Jews and the Gentiles. You think everybody in Rome that read the book believed the book? No. So these brethren, are they physical brethren of his nationality, or are they spiritual brethren?
Spiritual.
They're spiritual brethren. Because we're going to see a little bit later in this book, he's going to talk to his brethren nationally, his national, from the Jews. Okay, they go to meet him. What do you think that reaction was like? Yeah. Go to the book of Romans. We're going to study in a couple of weeks. Read the book of Romans. And what it talks about, the Gentiles are part of the God's people. And the Jews need to realize that. And that would be a great, they finally saw the great apostle that could perform miracles. And the word, that was an, I would think that would be an emotional meeting they would have there. And they came, the first place they came is 43 miles from Rome. Now, you know, when relatives come to town, if we have relatives come to town, they're going to be with their aunt or our uncle or our grandparents or whatever, we'll make time to go over there. Because we'll get in the car, right? 43 miles. Maybe they had a horse. Maybe they had a wagon. Maybe they walked, okay? Just think, if you had to go 43 miles to meet somebody, would that not be important to you? Yeah, it'd be important to you. Different ages, if you had children. You know, there's a lot of care goes into raising a child, right? They go 43 miles, and they thank God. You know, we had our lesson today about complaining. They thank God. You think Paul thanked God here? What would Paul be thankful for? He survived a shipwreck. He survived the viper. Okay? He's there. He's thanking God. Had he longed to meet the brethren in Rome?
Yes.
In the book of Rome, he says. In the book of Romans, he says, I long to meet you. I want to come see you. Okay? Here are they coming together. And he thanked God and took courage. Okay? That is something we all need to have. We need to take courage as being a Christian. There's things come up in our lives, don't they, that we have no control over, right? You know, it's interesting. On Wednesday night, Justin had that passage over there in Proverbs 20 that he had in his weekly. When I heard that in his week, I made a point of that over in Proverbs 20. God sees and hears everything that we do, okay? We need to always remember that. We have problems. We have health problems. We have financial problems. We have family problems. We have all kind of problems. We have neighbor problems, you know. We have problems with people at work that we work with, okay? But God, don't take courage. God knows what's going on. Okay, now, verse 16. And also, let's see, they came to Rome. What does Julius does? Delivers the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But listen to verse 16 about Paul. Was Paul special there among all the prisoners? Seemed to be special, didn't he? But what did he have? Was he in a prison, in a cell?
No, he had a single room.
You know, when you think about this, Paul, on all his missionary journeys, was Paul always used from going from place to place to place? Don't we like to get home? Even on a vacation, no matter where we go, the best vacation we ever had, do we want to get home? Yeah, we want to get home because we like home. Paul stayed at different houses, and they was all brethren. Hopefully they all treated him well. But he never stayed at a place of his own, did he? Now he gets to Rome. What does he have?
A room with a guard.
A room and a guard, okay? Is God blessing him here? Is God going to use that room and that guard to further the gospel? Yeah, he's going to. A soldier kept with the soldier that kept him. Okay, verse 17. 3 days. He gets there. He gets his place, you know, and he probably has to get the furniture or whatever goes on, all that. But what does he do after 3 days?
Calls the leaders of the Jews.
Yeah. He calls the chief of the Jews together. Now, I thought we read back in the book of Acts that Jews was kicked out of Rome. Did we?
Somewhere back there.
What was the emperor that did that?
Claudius.
This is 5 years after that. Who's the ruler now? Nero, okay? And, you know, Nero started off pretty good, didn't he? And then what happened? He got pretty ornery, didn't he? But evidently, after Claudius passes away, that Caesar is gone, just like we have. When we have different presidents, does different laws change? When we have governors, doesn't laws change? When we have mayors, doesn't laws change? Men are men, right? So now it seems to be that the Jews are coming back, okay? Because Nero is not enforcing the ban that Claudius told. Okay, so the Jews are to come together? Now, why is Paul there to begin with?
He appealed to Caesar.
I'm sorry?
He appealed to Caesar for the charges against him.
And who, okay, and the what charges was brought against him?
That he was speaking against the emperor, that he was speaking against the customs of his own people.
And he was stirring up all over the world, the known world, he was stirring up riots. Had riots occurred? He didn't stir them up. It's the people he preached to, okay? Had there been riots in Jerusalem? Yeah, because it goes to the Sanhedrin. We talked about all that. Okay, but in verse 17, he had been charged with things in Jerusalem and at Caesarea that the Jews wanted him to put to death. If the Jews in Jerusalem, they went to Caesarea, didn't they? To press their charges to Festus and Felix and Agrippa. I mean, they wanted the man dead, okay? If they had took so much emphasis to go to those to Caesarea, would they not go, if they knew Paul was being sent to Rome for a trial, would they not go to Rome if they wanted to see him dead? They would, wouldn't they? Okay? So he wants to talk. Paul doesn't know if the Jews had the, would the Jews had time to get to Rome? Remember, he was 3 months shipwrecked, right? Maybe if they didn't come by ship, they could have walked and got there or traveled some other way. Paul doesn't know, but Paul knows they hate him, okay? So he wants to talk to verse 17. Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people. He was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of a Pharisee, right? Or customs of our fathers. They said that he told them that the Jews didn't have to be circumcised. That's false. If the Jews wanted to circumcise their young, the men, on the boys on the eighth day, Paul didn't say anything you couldn't. He just said the Gentiles were not supposed to be circumcised. That God gave that law, that rule, to the Jews, not to the Gentiles. Yet I was delivered prisoners from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. What he says in verse 18, he was examined, right? Did not Festus and Felix and Agrippa examine him? And what were they found about him? Did they say he was guilty? No, he was innocent. Remember, Felix wanted to keep him in jail a while because hopefully somebody would bring him some money, would bribe him to let him out. That's the kind of men he went to. Those were terrible leaders as far as using their powers for their own selfish cause. There was no cause in death. But then in verse 19, he explains to them, the Jews kept they kept saying he should be put to death. He did all these terrible things. So finally, if he would have been set free in Caesarea or Jerusalem, would he be living?
No, probably not.
Remember those Jews that took an oath? They would neither eat nor drink till they killed Paul. That's pretty serious, isn't it?
You say if they kept their oath, they were dead by then.
Yeah, if they kept their oath, they would. That's right. They would be dead by then. Okay, they wanted to kill Paul. And in verse 20, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound for this chain. He wanted them to know, in case the other Jews had brought these charges before Nero, before the Roman courts, he wanted them to know that he was not guilty of these things that he was being charged with. David.
Seems, you know, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit. It seems like they're aware of Christianity. They refer to it, at least in the New American Standard, they refer to it as a sect. So they're familiar with Christianity. But it seems like if they've heard anything about Paul, it's not anything negative or positive. They're a little in the dark about Paul. And so he's going to explain himself, you know, to them. And they're going to listen to him.
I wonder if, had they read the book of Romans? Had these Jews here read the book of Romans?
Well, if they had... think that they would be a little bit more knowledgeable about it.
And as we go through here today, I think I can say with 100% that they hadn't, if they read it, they didn't believe it, right? Because he's going to say one word to them. The one word that the Jews hated to hear, Paul's going to say to them, and man, it's going to cause, they're all going to be in disagreement again, right? As we go through this. So if they had read the book of Romans, now, the brethren that came out and met Paul before he gets to Rome, had they read the book of Romans? Because they was brethren. They were Christians.
I'll say, by the time, I guess, the letter gets back, Paul and Priscilla had already reestablished the church back in their house again. Mm-hmm. They've been there for quite some time, so this letter had plenty of time to circulate.
And you know, if you're Aquila and Priscilla, and the government says, just say today, we get a new mayor, and the mayor says, no Christians can live in Louisville, in Jefferson County, right? We all leave. Right? Maybe if you stay, maybe some of us. There'll be serious persecution if you stay. You'll be put to death. Okay? And we go to Bullock County, okay? Or we go to Floyd County, or we go to Spencer County. And then in 4 years, we get a different mayor. And that mayor says, we're not going to put Christians to death. So because we're from here, what happens? We're going to come back, right? Okay, so that's what's going on here. How leaders can, you know, leaders can cause good things to happen. They can even, by their actions, they can cause the gospel to grow. Leaders, bad leaders can do that. Okay, I want to come talk to you because of the hope of Israel. What was the true hope of Israel?
The Messiah.
The Messiah. Even today, among the Orthodox Jews, what is the hope of Israel? At this time, the hope of Israel is kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. We'll reestablish the temple as it should be. And the Messiah will come and reign in Jerusalem. That's what it was then. And today, those that are Orthodox Jews believe that same thing. Although, I guess Jerusalem's divided in different sections, you know, there's the different, but they would like to kick the Arabs are who the Gentiles all out and have Jerusalem for themselves. Yeah.
And then you see God's plan is playing out in both ways. And the fact that you parallel Jesus and Paul, both of them were being brought before Caesar to be persecuted because they wanted to crucify him. They wanted to kill him. Paul and Jesus both. Jesus, God's plan was for Jesus to go to that cross for us because he was the perfect Savior. Paul, because God chose him and his Roman citizenship is what's bringing him to here. And he appealed to there, even though they were going to let him go, but he knew what the Jews had in mind for him. So he appealed to Caesar. So you see, God's plan is going to work out and play through no matter what, no matter how. And you just see the intertwine there. Like I said, Jesus, God's plan was for him to go to the cross for us because he was our perfect Savior, the unblemished Lamb. And Paul is fulfilling his duties with God. And because God picked him out, part of it, again, the forethought of his Roman citizenship protecting him from these Jews of killing him at that time to fulfill God's ultimate plan in delivering his word.
And God picked Paul out because Paul had a special abilities. Did he pick Peter out because he had special abilities? Did he pick Andrew out? Did he pick Barnabas out? And what about us today? We all have special abilities on the people we talk to, on the people we see, the neighbors. We all have different responsibilities. We all have different skills and different abilities, and God wants us to use them just as they did here. Okay, so they said, he says, I am bound with this chain. And then verse 21, they said, we haven't received any letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. So they didn't get any letters from Jerusalem. I mean, it really was strange. If those in Jerusalem really wanted to see Paul dead and he was going to Rome to be before Nero, you would have thought they would have sent some letters. They would have come personally.
Maybe they were on that boat that Paul was on.
Maybe they got converted right on that boat.
Maybe the letters got lost.
Okay.
The same way that,
letters could have got lost. Also, though, do you think the Jews in Jerusalem knew about how the Jews were thought of in Rome? Claudius kicked them all out, didn't he? And the Jews in Jerusalem, there was going to be some wars that the Jews was going to bring against the Romans. Why did Vespasian and Titus go to Jerusalem in the late 60s?
To destroy them.
Why do they want to destroy them? Rebellion. Okay? When you rebel against Rome, they're going to put the rebellion down. Okay? So maybe the Jews of 60 AD was worried more about what was going on in Jerusalem to get rid of the Romans there. So they didn't want to worry about going to Rome. We don't know. But anyway, no letter goes. 20-22. But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect. This is why I believe these are brethren from his heritage being Jewish and not Christians, because what are they calling the Christians?
A sect of the Jews.
A sect. And if you go and look on the dictionary I did this morning on what a sect is, let me ask you, is the Christianity a sect?
Well, I think at that time they looked at it as a sect. I mean, if they thought of it as something completely separate, it's got nothing to do with Judaism, how would they have a beef,
But if you have a belief of something, and then different pieces of that group break off to think different things, aren't those pieces that break off a sect?
Well,
go look it up.
The Pharisees and Sadducees.
And the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those were sects among the Jews, right? But what's the true church? Go to Ephesians. Paul says, how many churches are there?
One.
How many gods are there?
One God, one faith.
One faith and all those things? Christianity is, that's the church. Okay? Is the Methodist a sect of Christianity?
No. I mean, some people would say it is, but it's not.
Okay. But they, as the world believes on different things, we have different, don't we have different denominations? What's our denominations?
Sex.
Huh?
Well, that
was by many of the Bible believing people, if you think the baptism is necessary for remission of sins, you're called sect. You're called, actually called. I mean, they call you, consider you part of the norm, that you're kind of off from the regular teaching. At least that's what they say. And so, yeah, I mean, there are different sects, even within the Christian faith. They have, technically, they've broken off from what the true teaching is. So, by definition of the word sect, yes, they are sects.
Yeah. But remember, the church, there's only one church. And that's what Christ went to die for. That's what God established. Well, they talk about this section. I don't believe they're Christians. We know everywhere it is spoken against. Why in the world, as Christians, if we love our neighbor, if we help people out, if we pay our taxes, why is that spoken against? Today, even in this country, don't people believe, first of all, what's the thing about abortion, you know? To believe that abortion is wrong, you must be crazy, you know? You must be narrow-minded. Well, what does God think about abortion? I think it's pretty clear. It's murder. But people don't want to hear that today. You know, other things that we, that, well, what about, you know, a little bit of drinking or those type of things. What does the Bible say about drunkenness? Okay. What does the Bible say about sex outside of marriage? Okay. They just think we're crazy about that. Okay. And they don't like that. And you get into discussion just to say what God's word is and they get mad about it. Okay. And all it is what God, it's just the word of God. Everywhere spoken that,
your question was why was it spoken against? Justin in a lesson a couple of weeks ago or a month or two ago was talking about how we ought not be surprised. Darkness hates light. Darkness will always be against light. So then and now, the light will be spoken against by many because darkness does not.
Satan doesn't like these things, right? Let's go. And when they had appointed him, okay, they appoint a day, okay? Paul's going to have a day when all the Jewish leaders here of the Judaism is going to come to his lodging, and it says in verse 23, to which he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. That's what Paul always did, no matter if it was his first mission journey, second mission, third, no matter if he's in Jerusalem, he always expounded them, persuading them concerning Jesus. What did we do this morning? What did Justin do this morning to people that was here? We had visitors here. He was explaining Jesus to them. Look, both out of the law of Moses, Numbers today in our sermon, where did we go to in Numbers? That's all the law of Moses, right? And then you go to Isaiah, you go to Ezekiel, you go to Jeremiah, you go to all those prophets. It says, by the prophets. Unless, how long did he do that? From morning to evening, okay? You think the people that was there, you think Paul resented the fact that maybe he started at 8 o'clock in the morning and went to 8 o'clock at night? You think he resented that?
No.
You think he enjoyed it? Yeah, because these guys he's talking to, the hierarchy of all the synagogues there, if he could convince them of Jesus, what would they go back to their synagogues and do?
If they were convinced, they would try to convince other people.
That's right. Okay.
Take the same way that Paul convinced them to convince the brethren there. And that's, again, this is a part of God's plan. Paul, being a Pharisee of Pharisees, could easily recall and relate and put all these, if you want to say, pieces of the puzzle together. He laid it out to them, and he had that opportunity of being able to discuss one-on-one with them and lay this out completely to show them that Jesus is who.
And, you know, did he know the subject?
Yes.
Did he know the law? Do you know Moses? Did he know Christ? Yeah. And he spends all day long doing this. Now, should we get excited about Bible study?
Sure.
Yeah. Should we get excited about going back in the book of Genesis and all those Old Testaments and the prophets and everything? Yeah, we should get excited about that because that's the hope of salvation that we have. You know, if we know the Bible and Proverbs and, you know, like I like today what Justin says, sometimes, including myself, don't we have a tendency to complain? Right. We complain about our circumstances. But when we know, go back to Proverbs 20, what Justin read this, I think it was on Tuesday, or maybe Tuesday, about God knows everything about us and sees us and knows us. If we really believe that, we know he's looking out for our best interest. Okay, in verse 24, after 8 hours or 10 hours, what's the effect?
Verse 24,
some believed and some didn't. Is that like today?
Well, it's also like it's been demonstrated earlier in the book of Acts on a couple of three different occasions. You know, the result is kind of the same. You're going to persuade some people. Some people are going to have to think about it a while, and some people just aren't going
to. And sometimes we have to think about something for a while because we have been brought up a certain way. But it took Ray a while to establish everything in his mind, right? Before you became a Christian, because you had been brought up. You know, I'm really lucky that I was brought up in the church because you know what? Maybe if I wasn't, it'd be a lot different outcome for my life, right? Because you get to, that's why the classes are so important for the young kids back there. They're going to grow up and they're going to go off to the world or off to school and they're going to hear all kind of, well, I guess they hear all kind of crazy things in school right now. Some believe, verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. They departed after he speaks one word. Well, spake by the Holy Ghost, by Isaiah the prophet, unto our fathers. Okay, he tells them, he goes back to Isaiah. He said, listen, guys. Well, this is like 60 AD, and Isaiah was around 600 BC. So he goes back, you know, 650 years ago, this is what the inspired prophet, and they respected Isaiah. He was a prophet. And he says, 650 years ago, this is what Isaiah, the inspired prophet, said. Go unto this people and say, hearing, ye shall hear and shall not understand. That's hard. You know, you hear something and somebody talks to you, but you don't understand it. And we're not talking about some calculus or something really, really difficult, rocket science or something. We're not talking about that. The gospel is pretty easy to understand. Hearing, you shall not understand. And seeing, you shall not see and not perceive. You know, we see things. We watched ball games yesterday, right? And we see people make mistakes, you know. How can that guy make that kind of mistake, you know? We see those things. But what he's saying, you know, you see these things, you don't perceive. And this is why. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should hear with their ears, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Okay, these are these Jewish high officials in the different synagogues, and they're there in Paul. They've been going on for 8 hours or 10 hours, how long ago? And they all get mad. Okay, they all get back because Paul says one word. But before he says the word, he says, you all are just like your fathers some 650 years ago when Isaiah came to you and told you these things. He says, your heart, for the heart of this people, your hearts. And when he didn't tell them that was them, but he makes the application, and they know very clearly that Paul was telling them their heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes are not closed. Let's see. Do they get offended? Okay. You know, sometimes you tell someone the truth, and they'll listen, and they'll change. But sometimes you tell someone the truth, and what happens?
They get mad.
They get mad, right? Because why do they get mad? They're not living it, are they? they're living what they want to do and not what God wants them to do, even though what God has done for us. So there, okay, here comes the word. We saw that over in Jerusalem a couple years ago here. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto who?
The Gentiles.
And that they will hear it. Remember, he's already wrote the book of Romans before on this third missionary journey. There's brethren in Rome that through Quill and Priscilla through the book or whatever, they've read the book, they've obeyed. And when he has said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. You know, it is, you get people together sometimes. You know, from time to time, we'll write a new comprehensive code that deals with development, okay? And they'll get people together from this group, and the environmentalists will get people together, and the business association get people together, and the real estate people and the apartment people, and they'll all get together to try to come up with a new code, okay? It really gets cantankerous sometimes, you know, because people have their self-interest, you know. There's a lot of people who want to develop every piece of property there is, and there's other people who want to save every tree there is. And it gets to be great confusion sometimes about the different people. But here the same thing is. There's great confusion here. They departed. They reasoned among themselves. It says in verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him. 2 years. We talked before in the beginning of this class. All those missionary journeys, maybe he stayed somewhere some years, different people. But he always was traveling. He always was here these 2 years. Also, he starts writing epistles here, right? And people start coming and talking to him, the Jews and the Gentiles. 2 years, he received all that came to him. And those 2 years, who's by his side 24 hours, 7 days a week for those 2 years?
A guard.
A soldier. Somebody said they change the guard every 3 hours. I don't know. Maybe it's every 8 hours. I don't know. But just think if they changed it even every 8 hours, how many soldiers would hear Paul preach when they would come? And you think Paul just let them do what they want to? I don't think. Paul had them captive, didn't he? They would chain his arm to their arm. They couldn't get away from Paul, okay? Many of even Nero's court became Christians. One person said, and I don't know if this is true or not, Matthew Henry says this, that even one of Nero's mistresses became a Christian and changed her life. And they said Nero didn't like that very much, right? That's how the gospel spread in the court of Nero. In verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. You know, he was appealed to Caesar. He was taken prisoner to Rome. You know, he desired to go to Rome. It's over in the book of Romans. But he never thought when he desired to go to Rome that he'd go to Rome as a prisoner, okay? He probably never thought when he got to Rome he'd have his own house, okay? That he had those comforts there, and he used it to further the gospel. So I know we've went maybe a little bit slower than we anticipated to go, but I really believe we need to know these things about the life of Paul, what he went through, because we should not get discouraged. We will have trials. We have persecution. We might be arrested one day. Who knows what's going to happen? There's a lot of people in this world today that they don't like Christianity, okay? The winds are changing than what it was years ago, so we don't know what's going to happen. But we need to remember, whatever happens, to be like Paul. Dan.
Also, the last words there, no one forbidding him. Same thing here today with us. There are no laws right now forbidding us to spread God's word. If there is, we still need to spread God's word. But the power of what he delivered to them at that time there. You know, there would have been some trying to squash Christianity. But you see, he was here able to freely preach and teach people with no one forbidding him.
A lot different than Jerusalem, wasn't it? A lot different than Caesarea, wasn't it? You think he was thankful? One thing, before we end, we're going to end a little bit earlier, but one thing, the speaker that we're going to have next Sunday, I like to walk sometimes, and I don't get to walk as much as I do in the summertime when it stays darker, but I'll listen to different things. So I was listening, since Wilson's come, and I've been listening to some of his sermons. We studied the book of John a few months ago, didn't we? Or a year ago, or whatever. You know, this is something that had not occurred to me that he mentioned. Did he think upon his own? Did he get it from somebody? You know, a lot of times what we preach or what we teach, we just hear it from other people, right? We don't come up with anything new. We just heard it from somewhere. The book of John, Jesus ministered for 3.5 years, okay? There's 365 days in a year. So three of those is about a little over 1,085 days or whatever, another half. About 1,200 days of Jesus' ministry. You know how many days of the 1,200 days? If we go through the book of John and look at all those miracles and look at those days, you know how many days out of those 1,200 days the book of John covers? I didn't know this. This is 20. The book of John only looks at 20 days of Jesus' life. Now, was a lot of things done in that 20 days? You know what occurs to me? How much other good did Jesus do the other 1,180 days? If he did that much good in 20 days, just think what he did, what his life consisted of while he was on this earth. I mean, it's unbelievable. And also, how could someone reject him, okay, with all the good things that he's done? Okay, that's just it. Think about that. It's amazing what you hear sometimes when you listen to other people and what we learn. But Joe will be taking over in 2 weeks, the book of Romans. Just think, when we're studying Romans, this is the book that he sent to Rome, and then he gets to get there after the book's there.